Floyd has been blessing me with this thought. I hope you can read that. It's faithful in the little things. Being faithful in what the Lord wants us to do. You know, there's so much to do for the Lord, and there's so much. I'm never bored. My life is full, and I'm sure everyone in here feels the same. There's always something on the schedule to do. There's just one thing after another. But I've always been challenged to think, what would the Lord want me to do? You know, I don't want to crowd out what He wants me to do in the daily cares of life. And it's not the big, big things that we do so much as it's the little things that we do that we need to be faithful in. There's a story in 1 Kings 17 and 13. We're familiar with it, but I thought we would read a little bit of this. It's when Elijah was, there was a famine. He had called for no rain. It was to be a time of drought for a reason, because of the wickedness of Ahab. But the Lord directed him to go to see a little lady, a widow. This is in 1 Kings 17 and 13, right in here. Let's start a little bit before that. He came to her house, and he asked her to make him a cake. Let's start with the 11th verse. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And this is a very dire situation. There had not been rain for a while, and everything was dry. There wasn't food available. And so she's telling this man of God, Elijah, she said, "I just have a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil, and I'm just going to take it and bake it, give some to my son, and then that's all we've got. We'll just probably die." And yet, what he asked of her here is to be unselfish. He said, "Take and make that cake for me." In the 13th verse, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Wonderful miracle happened here. She obeyed what the man of God told her to do, and she made the cake for him, unselfishly gave to him, and the Lord supplied her needs. He allowed that barrel of meal and that oil to continue to be there when she needed it. I was thinking of a time in my life whenever the Lord did something similar. You know, there's times when we can feel pressed, and even recently, the Lord has been a blessing, has blessed me in this type of way, where there was times when I just was wondering, where's the next amount going to come? And the Lord supplied it. It was right there. And I'm sure you've had those times in your life too, where the Lord has supplied right at the right time, right when you needed it, the Lord supplied. And that's a blessing. But I also like the thought of how she was willing to give the little that she had. She didn't have a lot. It wasn't a big amount of meal, and it wasn't a big amount of oil, but it was a little bit. And what she had, she was willing to give. And that little bit that she was willing to give, God multiplied it. And He made it to stretch on and on for several days and feed her and her son and this man of God. You know, sometimes we can, I know I do, I can become overwhelmed at looking at the whole picture. And sometimes I think, I'm just not doing very much. But you know, if we do the little that God asks of us every day, He can multiply the little that we give and make it big. He can take the little offerings that we have, the daily prayers that we give to Him, and sometimes, you know, I think of praying through the day for different ones, and yet, you know, really pray for loved ones that aren't saved, and pray for this one that's not well, and pray for this, and when you look on, maybe there doesn't seem to be any result, but keep praying. The little prayers that we give through the day, God hears them, and He answers in time, and He can multiply and make it big. He can do some miracles sometimes above and beyond what we expect, and that's what He did here. He multiplied for this woman, her son, and I thank the Lord that He's still the same today. He still does this too. He still multiplies for us. He still increases, and He gives abundantly to us whenever we ask of Him and trust in Him. The Lord is good, and He's faithful, and I thank the Lord for that. I told about this morning how the Lord fixed the printer the other night at work, and that was a big thing to me. And the Lord came in, and that printer jammed about 3 a.m. I didn't have any way of calling for help. I thought of calling my brother in the middle of the night. Thought, well, he knows how to fix these printers, and maybe I ought to call him and ask for advice. I was stumped. I didn't know what to do. But I thanked the Lord for Him giving me that thought to cut the paper so that I could pull out some from the bottom and the other part could go through the top. It's those little times in life when God answers prayer. It means so much to us, doesn't it? The other day, I was driving to work. It was dark late at night, about 11:15, and I came up over a crest, and I didn't see it in time. There was a dead skunk right in the road, and my front driver's tire hit it. It slung the skunk, some of it, up under my car. It was bad. And when I rolled up to the gate to check in, when they came out to open the gate, they went, shh, it was bad. Oh, it was bad. I felt so bad. I didn't know what to do. I was in a hurry. I had to get to work. I went and parked my car. I came into the office, and they go, whew, what's that odor? I was so embarrassed. I said, I hit a dead skunk. Oh, no. So I put my coat out in the back in the lobby there. And I thought, oh, this is awful. And when I called at 2 o'clock to do my check-in, the guy at the gate, he said, are you the one that hit the skunk? I thought, this is going to follow me. And I thought, Lord, why did that have to happen? I got so much to do. And then I went and hit this dead skunk. So right after work, I went home and got some rubber gloves, and that was a morning it was really cold and icy out, Tuesday morning. Went to the car wash, and I slipped and slid around, and I sprayed, and I took the brush and went under my car, and I think I pretty well got it out. But, you know, that incident, it was small, but it took a lot of my time. And during that time, I was asking the Lord to please keep me patient. Keep me calm, because it was a real trial to me. And it's those little things like that in life that when the Lord tests us, He wants us to keep even. You know, it was really hard. I thought, I didn't have time for this, Lord. I didn't really want this to happen, but it did. And I thank the Lord for helping me through that bad time. So there are things in life that come our way that's not so pleasant. And it's those little things like that that really can get on our nerves. It can get under our skin sometimes. But the Lord wants us to be faithful through those times because He's watching over us and He cares about us. And nothing touches our life but what He doesn't allow it. Why He allowed me to hit the skunk? I don't know. But He did. And I'm thankful I got it off and I don't have any problem with that now. But in those times of life, they're testing times. And the Lord's saying, I'm wanting a little bit from you. I want a little bit of your patience here checked. I want a little bit of your, perseverance and your determination and your keep the Spirit of God there, you know, keep some joy. The Lord tests us, and we have to ask Him for grace during those times. It's not the big things, it's the little things sometimes. I remember Peter Jenkins, way back, I think it was in the 60s, maybe early 70s, he was the man that walked across America. Some of you might remember him. It made headlines. He was in the news a lot because he started, I believe, in New York City, and he walked all across America down into Southern California, and he wrote a book about it. And he told about going through, you know, like the mountains and going through crossing bridges and all the walking he did, and people, truckers would pick him up, and he stayed in different ones' homes. And they asked him, one of the reporters, after he had done his walk, they said, of all the, you know, the things that you went through on your walk, what was the most trying thing? What was the hardest thing for you to do? You know, all this long 1,000 miles that he walked. And you know what he said? He said, what bothered me the most was when a little rock would get into my boot. And that little rock would hurt my foot so much. He said, that's what slowed me down the most. It was when a little rock would get into my shoe and cause me to have to stop and take it out. And he said, it's those little things like that that can become such a big nuisance. And that's true. It is true. It's sometimes the little things like that. I was slicing sweet potatoes the other day, and I was in a hurry because I was wanting to get these sweet potatoes in the oven. We were going over to have dinner with the blind, and I had other things going. And I went to slice the sweet potato, and the potato moved, and my finger didn't. And I just sliced a piece off of my finger. And, you know, that has been the biggest nuisance to me because you don't know how much you use this one finger. It's a nuisance whenever I wash dishes. It's a nuisance whenever I'm cooking or whenever I'm cleaning because the Band-Aid won't hardly stay on, and the way it's cut, it'll get snagged and it hurts. You don't realize how important something is until it gets injured. And it's those little things like that that catch our attention, doesn't it? The Lord knows that we need to be faithful in the little things. When little trials come our way, be faithful. The Lord wants us to carry through and be diligent. There's a story, a parable that Jesus told in Luke 19. If you want to turn with me there, we'll read this. He talked about being diligent here and being careful with what the Lord has given. Luke 19 and 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, talking about the disciples. And this is what Jesus said. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. You know, the Lord wants us to occupy until he comes. We know the world that we see around about us, a lot of evil and sin, but the Lord wants us to be faithful until he comes again. So he told these 10 servants to be faithful. And his citizens hated him. They hated the nobleman. And they sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. See a lot of that in our society today, don't we? Rebellion, disrespect. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now he wanted them to be useful with that money. Occupy until I come. But don't just hide your talent. Don't just hide your money. Don't just leave it setting. But use it to your advantage that I might come and require of you how you've done. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He had multiplied it. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So the Lord rewarded him for his faithfulness with a little. He said, You've done well, and I will reward you. I will give you more responsibility. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an auster man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an auster man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him that the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and for him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Jesus is giving out a parable here to his disciples. I am giving you the word of God. I'm giving you what I have taught. And I want you to go out and spread this word and give it to those that you come in contact with. Don't hide it. Don't just keep it within you. You know, salt is not going to do any good sitting in a salt shaker. But you have to take that salt and turn it upside down, take that shaker and sprinkle it on the meat or sprinkle it on the food. And once it makes contact with the food, it salts it, it seasons it. But just sitting in the salt shaker, it's not doing any good. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I've given you words to live by. I've given you direction, instruction. Don't just keep it unto yourself, but take it out and go sprinkle it, spread it, let others know about it. Don't just hide it to yourself. And that's why he was so stern here with the one servant that said, I just kept it to myself. I just didn't give it out. I knew, Lord, that if I didn't stay, and I'm going to use this term like pinned in or kept in, I didn't want to defile myself. So I just stayed within. And that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. He wanted him to take the pound that he had and go out and give to others and tell what the Lord had done for him. That's a challenge to me. The little that we have, sometimes I feel so inadequate. I don't know how you feel, but there's times whenever I feel I don't have it. I don't have what it takes here. And yet the Lord will give a nudge, speak, you know, or do something here that I want you to do. And the Lord can help us and give us grace in those times. The ones that I work with sometimes, you know, I've had this before in the past. When you work with people of the world, they've got their attitudes and they have their way of looking at things. And I ask the Lord, help me to be a blessing, to be a salt or a light there, and not to be a hindrance. And sometimes, you know, you have to close your mouth and be quiet. And then there's times when the Lord wants you to speak. And that's whenever the Lord can give us grace to do his will. I was talking with one young man, and he was telling me about his situation. And he was telling me how he said he didn't know his father all his life until 2 years ago. And he had just got acquainted with his dad. And then his dad came down with cancer. And he said, his dad's in the hospital living out his last days. And he was, and I can see that too, grieving over the lost time that he had not had with his father. And I said, be thankful for the little time you did have with him. Be thankful for the, he told me, 15 minutes of good time that you had. You know, the Lord is good. And sometimes we can look at the bad and be overwhelmed. But if we look at the good and bless the Lord for it, he can multiply the good. And he can give us that joy within that will make us feel satisfied in him and in our living for the Lord. I read a book. It was, at first I picked it up. I thought, I want to see what kind of books they have around here. Does it work? So I had some time and I picked up the book and I started reading. And at first I wasn't very pleased with it. I thought, But as I read into it, it got better. And I'll tell you the story about it. It goes along with this thought of being faithful in little things. There's a boy, young man, I'm going to call him Mike. And Mike and his buddy, Mike had already gotten in trouble with the law a couple of times. One of them was stealing. He got caught stealing at a convenience store, brought before the judge. And they told him, you know, this is one mark, don't do it again. And anyway, I think he'd done something else and got in trouble. So this time he and his buddy, it was a Saturday night and they were feeling like having some fun. And they said, why don't we go get some beer at the convenience store? Well, they didn't have money. And the buddy said, well, that's no problem. Hey, let's get in my pickup and we can go and get it. And so they ran over to the convenience store and while one kept the clerk occupied, the other went into the cooler and pulled out 2 6-packs and took off out the door with it. And they took off running, jumped in the pickup and took off. But about a mile or less down the road, a short ways down the road, the pickup ran out of gas. And the convenience store clerk had called the police and the police came and of course there they were sitting and arrested him. And here he was again before the judge and he was mad. He was mad. He goes, why did he run out of gas? When he knew we were in a need of getting out of there fast, why didn't he put gas in the truck? You know, and he kept blaming his friend, Jeff. He said it was Jeff's fault. Jeff put me in this situation, not taking the responsibility that he himself shouldn't have been in that place too. But he was mad at Jeff. He was mad at the police. He was mad at the convenience store clerk to call the police. He was mad at everybody. Why he was in this situation, it was everybody else's fault but his. He was just trying to have a good time and then they ruined it. You know, and that was his attitude, and he came in with that attitude and came in before the judge. If you have ever stood before a judge, you know it's a solemn thing, but he didn't have that feeling in his heart. He was mad at the judge, and they had to make him straighten up to even stand before the judge in his shackles there with the others. And the judge told him, it was a woman judge, she said, young man, she said, this is your third offense. She said, I have a mind. I could just keep you. I could just sentence you. But she said, you're too young. 18 years old. You're too young. She said, I'm going to give you 90 days in the Oklahoma County Jail. And you're going to sit there for 90 days and you're going to think about what you did. And you're going to think about how you can change your life and do something better. She said, after 90 days, I'll call you up before me again. And if you've got a good record, you didn't cause trouble in the jail, then we'll reconsider your sentence. But she said, you better be, you know, you better abide by the rules because I can put you in the pen. Well, it should have put a fear on him, but it just made him mad. The judge was that mean to him, leaving him in there for 90 stinking days. He was mad. He went back to his cell and it was very descriptive how he was angry. And there was a man there, a big man that kind of ran things, and they said, don't bother with him. And anyway, every Monday evening, they got a call. It's time to go for group. Want to come to group? And a lot of the men would get up and go to group. They'd, you know, get around and go to group. And Mike didn't think it was important. He was just glad when the guys left. Well, one night when they called group and the group was gone, most of the men were out at group, they would come back with these little books, to read. And Mike didn't like to read, so he didn't care about that. But these guys would come back with little books to read, and they were so interested in those books, and he was just mad about everything, so he didn't really even ask about them. But one night he was there after the others had left for group, and he was sitting on his bunk, and he looked up, and this big guy was there at the doorway of his cell. And he thought, whoa, what does he want? And it made him scared. He felt the hair on the back of his neck go up. And that guy stood there for a minute and he goes, I gotta talk to you. He goes, what about? You know. And he came on in and he got right up in Mike's face and he said, how come you didn't go to group? And Mike said, I didn't want to. And he said, that's no excuse. And he kind of shook him up a little physically. And he said, the next time they call for group, I better see you go into group. He said, that man, Malcolm, has something to offer, and you need to go and hear what he has to say. And Mike said, yes, sir. And so, even though he didn't want to, well, anyway, the big guy left. He turned and left and walked out. That's all he said. That's all he did. He threatened Mike about going to group. So anyway, the next Monday night when they called group, Mike got around and went. He didn't want to, but he thought he better because that big guy was watching. Well, anyway, he got to group, and he didn't really care about it because all Malcolm, the group leader, was talking about was finances, about how to do your money and how to live responsible. And, oh, my, that was just, he didn't care to hear it. Anyway, long story short, Malcolm took a liking to Mike, and he started talking to him. And he said, you've got a lot of potential. And Mike had never heard that before. He'd never heard that he had potential. He'd never heard that he had some qualities there that were good. Anyway, they became friends. And Malcolm said, if you will listen to me and do what I direct and tell you to do, I'll help you change your life or you'll never again be inside a jail. Well, that sounded good to Mike. So anyway, long story short, he started reading the little book. The little books that Malcolm would bring. And they were changing him, his way of thinking and his way of looking at life. The next time he went before the judge after 90 days, she looked over his report. She said, I see you don't have any bad records here. You've been cooperative with the law and haven't caused any disturbance. So she asked him a couple of questions and asked him if he had any plans. He said, yes, I do. I've met a friend, and this friend's going to help me. So she released him. She just released him right out. He didn't have anything but the clothes on his back. Anyway, he took off running because Malcolm told him, if you get out, go over to Lake Hefner and meet me there. Meet me at Lake Hefner at the lighthouse. And that's what he did. He took off running from the Oklahoma County Jail, ran all the way over to Lake Hefner to the lighthouse, and he met Malcolm there in the morning. They met about 6 in the morning. And they started their run, and another guy named Gary met them. And they did their run all the way around Lake Hefner. And on that run, Malcolm began to tell him, you have to get yourself in condition and in shape physically. And then he started telling him about how to do his finances. And I got to thinking, I thought, now this man's never telling him anything about the Lord. And that's why I was getting kind of tired at the book. I thought, he's not giving him any instruction to turn his life over to the Lord. He's just telling him how to take care of his finances. And he did. Gary had a business, and so Mike began to work for Gary. And he said, you've got to keep your house in order, be clean and tidy, organize your things, your clothes, hang your clothes up, keep your clothes washed and clean. Nobody wants to hire somebody that's dirty and, you know, doesn't take care of their body. And that's all true. That's some of the training they have out there at the Job Corps. Take care of yourself. Be organized. Make sure that you're clean. And, you know, those little things like that, you don't think it matters. But I tell you what, you know, it does matter. You know, when somebody walks by and they've got B.O. and they're in culinary arts, you wonder, You know, it does matter. It does matter for people to take care of things like that. And that's what Malcolm was telling Mike, is how to take care of the body and how to take care of your possessions and then how to take care of your money. Don't waste your money. Don't spend your money on cigarettes and beer. That's all wasteful. And he was instructing him in things like that. And Malcolm had a nice business going. He had a really nice home and everything. And then one day, something happened to Malcolm. Malcolm got a lawsuit, his business. Somebody sued him, and they sued him for a lot of money. And Malcolm began to spiral downward. And Mike watched as Malcolm didn't want to go on the runs anymore. He went to Malcolm's home, and he said, "Malcolm, what's wrong?" And Malcolm came to the door, and he goes, "I don't want to run anymore. I can't." He said, "My wife, my two children, I'm just trying to keep things together." And Mike said, "What's wrong?" He goes, my world's falling apart. I don't want to run. I don't want to do anything anymore." And his wife, Malcolm's wife, realized that her husband was in a bad way. He was becoming very depressed because of the lawsuit. His business was getting, people were quitting work. So she started going to church. And that's where the Lord came in. Malcolm realized that all the things that he'd been teaching was good, but there was still a hollowness to it. He was doing the physical things that were right, taking care of finances and taking care of the body and taking care of, you know, health and all these things, but he wasn't taking care of the spiritual side. He needed to be seeking God. And his wife encouraged him to start going to church. And he got a hold of the Lord. He said, "You know, this changing over after a while, there's a whole lot in there. I'm just kind of touching the highlights." But Mike came and got Malcolm one morning, and Malcolm was ready to run. He goes, "Let's go, let's go." Every morning, well, it was three mornings a week, Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday, they would go running. And this Saturday, Mike went to get Malcolm, and Malcolm was ready to go. And he said, "You know what makes a difference in life? It's when you have a spiritual goal. When you have something above and beyond just this earth." And he got a hold of that. He said, "You can take care of the things here on this earth, like your house, which is important, your finances, your car, your, you know, your physical and all. That's all important," Malcolm told Mike. But he said, "You know what? The most important thing is to know where you're going to go after you die." He got a hold of it. And then he was putting it together. So he started talking to Mike about that, and Mike didn't know anything about the Lord. All he knew about the Lord was cuss words. And so Malcolm said, "You want to go to church with me?" "Sure." So he invited him, and he went the next Sunday to church. And he started hearing about the Lord too, and he started realizing that was what satisfied the inward longing. There was something there he kept longing for, something he kept wanting. It was the Lord. It was Jesus. That's what he needed. Anyway, Mike got saved. He met a girl there, got married. And I'm not for sure what year it was, but it was about 5 or 6 years ago. He was recognized by the governor of the state of Oklahoma for outstanding leadership in his work. He has a business now that he's operating, and he has employees, about 10 employees under him, Mike does. And the award was for how he had come out of the background he had into living a better life and helping others. You know, it's the little things that when we're faithful in them, the Lord is able to help us and to guide us. Just taking care of our daily needs. Sometimes it seems like it's not important, but it is. The other day, Darlene's case manager was coming. It's a new one again. I always get nervous about the case managers coming, because this is part of the government coming into your home. And I was very nervous again about it. I'd had a hard time finding out who a new case manager was, and they've got her located now from Kay County, which I don't figure that one out. But anyway, saying all of that, I came home from work Tuesday morning, and I was tired, but I told Darlene we got to do some cleaning. We did dusting and vacuuming and getting the house kind of picked up a little bit and everything, even though I was tired. And I thought, I just hope that whenever the person comes in, that they're a congenial person, that they are not going to be, because I've had a couple of them come in like Mr. Persnickety, you know, just pretty looking things over. And I thought, Lord, I just hope this person comes in and they'll just be real congenial. So anyway, the knock was on the door and I opened the door. I felt like I was pretty well ready. And she came in, she sat down on the couch and she said, well, you have a pretty home. And that meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me. It meant that all the work I'd been doing there to try to make things look a little better had paid off. It's those little things like that. And sometimes it's just the little words of encouragement. When she said that, that was a few words of encouragement to me. I thought, hey, we can make something happen here. She's a congenial lady, and she was. She was willing to work with me, and we got things accomplished. You know, like I said, it's not the great big things in life. Yes, they're important. The times whenever, you know, a new baby is born, that's a big thing. The times whenever somebody passes away, a loved one, it's a big thing. Time whenever perhaps there's a car accident or a house burns down, we've had a burned house before. Time whenever maybe, you know, the job, you lose your job, those are big things. And they are important, and we do need the Lord at those times. But it's really the everyday things that we live every day. That's where the Lord wants us to be the most faithful. Because if we can be faithful in the little things, the daily things that come our way, then when the big things come, we'll be prayed up. And we'll have our trust anchored better in Him. And like it said here in this little passage, the man that had taken the tin and had given it and used it and multiplied it, that's what the Lord was pleased with. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before men that they may see the works of the Lord and what He's done for you. I thank the Lord for His blessings to me. I thank the Lord for the people of God. I enjoy hearing testimonies. I enjoy hearing how the Lord's working out things for others, because I'm so thankful He knows every person in here. He knows every heart. He knows every need. And though I am limited and I can't get acquainted as well with people, the Lord is. He knows everyone by name. And He can work out the needs for every person. Just be faithful to Him in the little things of life. When they come our way, let us be faithful and keep His grace.